Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we're going to learn the halachas that surround the Levaya. The Levaya is the escort of the body to the grave. So we're going to look at five concepts today, and they are with work restrictions and greeting customs, delayed burial, appropriate behavior at funerals, escorting the Niftar and Tziruk Adin. This is Simon Kuf, Tzadi Ches 198 in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. There's obviously a lot more than meets the eye. These are just a basic summary, just to have a sense of what's going on over here. So let's start at the beginning. Work restrictions and greeting customs. What is the communal obligation when somebody dies in town? So all inhabitants are forbidden to do work unless there are appointed people to handle the funeral, in which case others may work. And that's generally speaking, if we have a Cheruv Kaddisha that allows other people to work, or otherwise it falls on the responsibility of everybody in the town to take care of that Niftar. What is the law in a small village when someone dies? So everybody, so at that point in time, if it's a small village and everybody kind of knows everybody, then nobody's allowed to greet each other until the burial, while the body's waiting burial. What happens in a big city? So in a big city, this applies still even when awaiting burial, and everybody knows in that little locale. When is greeting permitted near a cemetery? So if they're not awaiting a burial, greetings may be exchanged if they are at a distance of 4 amos, 4 or 7 feet from a grave. People really don't know that there's halacha, and all kinds of greetings and hugs and, you know, kisses are exchanged at funerals. It's really not appropriate, and it's not the time. This is not a time for greeting. I am each other. One may extend sympathies to the person who's in avelos, but the greeting and handshaking of other people is not supposed to happen at a funeral while they're still awaiting burial. We move to the next topic, which is delaying burial. The Torah tells us in Devarim Perchav, out of Pasuk Chav Gimel, do not delay the burial, because it's the curse of Hashem when it seems to be a curse of Hashem when the body is left hanging. Rashi in the Chumash there explains it's like a prince as a twin brother, and the twin brother is indicted for robbery and is hanged publicly, and people see the body hanging and say, wow, that must be the king. And he says, because we are created in Tzen Elohim, if the body of a human being is left hanging overnight, that's considered, or not buried, that's considered as if people say, oh wow, it's God forbid, because there's an expression of God there. So let's just understand. So on a basic level, is it permissible to delay burial overnight? The answer is generally no. One is not allowed to leave the deceased remaining overnight unless it is for their honor. When is it considered for the honor of the dead? So what would be that? So let's say one needs to organize the shrouds, a coffin, or a child, or one of the eulogizers is not able to make it to the funeral, one is allowed to delay this. This does not necessarily mean grandchildren or nieces and nephews. As meaningful as it is, it really means the most immediate avelim who are not able to get there. Otherwise, it's not a covered for the niftar. May the burial be delayed? Be delayed to identify an unknown body? The answer is, of course, a burial must be delayed. May be delayed until the witnesses or the spouse can identify the deceased. Should relatives be buried quickly? Yes. So this is interesting. The Kitzur says, the sooner the better is the greater respect, except for one's parents, where haste is frowned upon unless it's necessary. So necessary is, let's say, it's before Shabbos or Yom Tov, or there's rain coming and is landing on the coffin. So what does that mean practically? Meaning, how could it be that at one funeral, the other relatives are supposed to hurry and the children of the Niftar are supposed to not hurry? How does that work in practical terms at one funeral where there's different groups who have different responsibilities? The way I understood this halacha is that when it comes to the eulogies, the children of the Niftar are allowed to speak more extensively because that's the kibud av vo'em. But other relatives, whether it's siblings, even grandchildren, friends, need to be brief. It's not appropriate for them to have very long speeches. I recommend when officiating at funerals, the children should speak between 5 to 8 minutes, and anybody else, and there should only be one grandchild per family chosen to represent, and it should be between 3 to 5 minutes maximum, and this should be assessed based on the word count beforehand, because it's not appropriate when the funerals go extensively, especially if it's the middle of the workday, people are coming out, and it's not appropriate, it's not covered at mace, it's not covered at tzibur, when it becomes long and unwieldy. If two people are awaiting burial, who is buried first? The one who died first is buried first. However, if delayed for the honor of the niftar, the second should not be delayed. What about nichum avelim and the bracha be said between the two burials? So let's say that there's two burials, they're waiting, and they have a small funeral, they have only one chapel. So is the shura made and the nichum avelim between the two? The answer is no. They go straight from one burial to the next burial to make sure that there's no delay for the second burial. If, let's say, that there are two people on iftar, one is a Talmid Chacham, the other one is not, who goes first? So the Torah sage goes first, even if the other died earlier. If it's a man and a woman, who goes gets buried first? The woman gets buried first, and we learn this in the Pasuk, which says, Vayotamas Shom Miriam, Vatikover Sham, that Miriam passed away and she was buried there. This is in Parshas Chukas, and we learn from this in the Gemara, that there's a responsibility of burying women specifically as soon as possible, even before men. We move to the next concept, and that is the appropriate behavior at funerals. So what is the spiritual value of crying for a righteous person who passes away? So the Kitzur records that Hashem collects the tears and it atones for keri, which means unnecessarily spilt semen for men, and it helps protect one's children from bad decrees by crying at funerals. If one sees a funeral procession, what is one's responsibility? So a person must walk or escort just at least 4 amos. So must walk alongside with it at least 7 feet. One is considered to mock the poor, loyeg larosh, if one does not do so and is deserving of excommunication. It's very serious to ignore a procession that's happening right where one is. Should Torah study be interrupted for a funeral? The answer is yes, even for somebody who only studied Torah and Chumash and Mishnah. Are there exceptions to women and children? So yes, Torah is not interrupted for their funerals. I mean, say Yeshiva Bachrim, who are not related, do not need to interrupt their study of Torah for such a funeral. Should children ever be interrupted from their Torah learning for a funeral? The answer is no. Even for the building of the Beis Hamikdash, they remain learning their Torah at the times they would otherwise. What if a funeral procession is passing, which one is not obligated to be part of? So one does not have to do the escort. What should one do? So one should at least stand. Why is this? It's not actually because of the niftar, because the person who passed away. It's because of the people who are escorting them who perform the mitzvah of Levayas HaMeis, and one honors people who are performing mitzvahs. Is standing required at other mitzvah performers as well? The answer is yes. Just like other people rose for those bringing Bikurim, one must stand before anybody engaged in a mitzvah process. What other precautions should be taken at a funeral? So the Kitzur suggests that it's very important that men and women not mingle, especially when returning from the cemetery, as he says it's considered a danger at that time. There's a kitrug, especially in Beis HaKvaras, at such a time. Let's move into the next concept, which is escorting the niftar. What footwear may the pallbearers, those who are carrying the body, wear? So they should wear closed shoes so that they should not fall while carrying the niftar, the body. What are the 7 stops, the ma'amados, during the funeral procession? So around 30 amos from the grave, the pallbearers pause every 4 amos for the total of 7 stops. Why do we do this? So they correspond to the seven ma'amados in times of Beis Hamikdash, and also the words hevel, which appears in Koheles hevel avanim omar, Koheles hevel avanim omar, ha'kol hevel, that everything is vain of vanities, which is every time we stop, we as the individuals who are left here in this world reflect upon the meaning or the point of our lives. Why are we here? Why are we doing what we're doing? And to reflect on this. Another point of this is also to be as a kapara, as an atonement for the person who passed away, and to also chase away namazikim, dangerous forces. When are these omitted? When do we not do these? They're omitted on the days where tachanun is not said. Then it's not said because those are days where there's not such strict din or judgment. What bracha is said upon seeing a cemetery or graves? So if one has not been there for 30 days, one says a special bracha, Asher Yatzar Eschem Adin. It's a very beautiful bracha which validates the idea of resurrection of the dead, which is something we believe in very much. Of course, the people who are related to the niftar should not say this because at this stage they're still in aninus and they're not allowed to say brachas, but somebody else who's not been in a Beis HaKvaras for 30 days should say that bracha. We finally move to the last concept today, and that is Tzidduk Adin. So what is Tzidduk Adin? It's a special prayer which is said only at funerals, which begins with Atzurat Plamim Po'aloi, the rock referring to Hashem is pure in all of his actions, and it refers to ratifying Hashem's judgment in this world. And at a funeral, we don't always feel that everything makes sense, and so we ratify Hashem's judgment to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know you have a plan, even if we can't see or feel it right now. who recites it. So it's usually said by the mourner. If there are no mourners present, it's said by the most prominent people. Some other people are have a custom to join in as well. When is it actually said? So the Kisra suggests that it's said now. It sounds like before the burial, because that's the next topic. However, the common practice today seems to be done is that it's after the actually you fill in the grave, then you say Tzedek HaDin. On which days is Tzedek HaDin not recited? So it's not recited on an Erev Shabbos after midday, on Erev Yom Tov. It is recited on Erev Rosh Chodesh, on Erev Chanukah, Erev Purim. And for a Torah scholar like Bo'emir, as well, generally speaking, there's no Tachanun, it's a day where we do not say Tzedek HaDin. Is Tzedek HaDin said at night? Nope, no, it is not said at night, nor is Kaddish said at night in a cemetery. Is Tzedek HaDin said for an infant who passed away, God forbid, under 30 days? The answer is, once again, not in such a situation. So these are just some of the basics of the Leviah. We'll move next into the Kvura, into the burial. Be'ezrat Hashem. Have a wonderful, I mean,